Hello, my name is Vanya Schweitzer. I'm a principal researcher at Sophos, and in this HelpNet Security podcast, I'll be talking about potentially unwanted applications for Android platform. What we did in our work, you have to be aware that on Android platform, there's a relatively large number of malware samples we're seeing. Like in Sophos Labs, we're seeing about 1,000 malware samples every day, the ones that we haven't seen before. While we also see about 500 new potentially unwanted applications every day. It's actually, at the beginning, it was quite difficult to make a distinction between what a malicious file is and what's a potentially unwanted application. And for the Virus Bulletin conference, we decided to create a paper which may be used by all of the sort of, you could call them stakeholders in the Android ecosystems, which are users. They are the most important for us. We want to protect them. Application developers, developers of the advertising frameworks, as well as providers of the adverts, and last but not least, the testers, who are very much involved with testing all of the security software and who decide which samples set would consist of malware, or which files will go into malware sample sets, and which one will go into the potentially unwanted application sets. So the term potentially wanted applications actually came from earlier time of the Windows sort of world, where we realized that there is a set of applications that are not inherently malicious, but they have sometimes functionality which may be considered useful by somebody. For example, I don't know, crackers that produce crack codes for applications, or security tools such as PS tools that allow you to remotely launch a program on another computer, or to list processes running, so sometimes useful for administrator and security researchers, but not necessarily for ordinary users. So most of the programs or AV programs these days have a specific category that allows the user or the administrator of the program to make a decision that if it's classified something as a potentially unwanted application and we blocked it, then they have an option to allow that application to run on the system. So the same idea comes on the mobile, but the mobile is a bit different in terms of how the sort of mobile ecosystem works. On Android, most of the new or successful applications are supported by adverts, and it's very difficult to simply block all of the advertising frameworks and just classify them as potentially unwanted. So we don't want to prevent neither the publishers of the adverts or the guys who are creating SDKs for advertising toolkits, or the developers to make their own, you know, to earn their money. After all, it's their job. But we also want to make sure that the users are getting a good experience, an experience which will not confuse them, or an experience that which will not make them do something which they would not like to do or they don't expect from an advertising framework. So in our research, we decided to have a look at not just the advertising frameworks and advert, but also other classes of potentially unwanted applications, and to help the entire security industry, or at least to try to contribute to a common goal or to common understanding of why some of the applications should be classified as potentially unwanted. So we went through some classic categories such as spyware or remote access tools, hacking tools, spyware, I think I told already also. But also some of the new categories such as the intellectual theft. It's interesting with Android that it's very easy to decompile an application and then add some additional functionality and then just republish, because signing an application with a self-signed certificate is more or less acceptable, not just acceptable, but the usual practice. So even on Google Play, we sometimes see, though a little bit less these days, clones of popular applications appearing. So those would be the apps that would classify that sort of IP theft. Then we would have some additional category, like the applications who very much promote pornographic content, which will not be suitable, especially for some of the younger users. Then apps that promote sort of racial or gender hate, and some other things. So altogether, we decided that by putting together a hopefully semi-complete classification or taxonomy of those applications, we would be able to help everybody in the Android ecosystem.